Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Get Focused Radio, a show designed to help you refocus when life gets in the way. It is Thursday, June 7th, and I'm your host, Kate Hennessy, coming to you live from beautiful downtown Bowmanville, Ontario. Our very special guest today is Neil Crone. Neil is a well-known actor and writer who's performed in dozens of television and radio commercials, TV shows, and he's the voice of numerous cartoon characters every Saturday morning. We've enjoyed watching him in feature film roles such as King, NBC's Warehouse 13, Connor Undercover, and Eating Buccaneers. We also know Neil as Radio Redneck Fred Tupper in CBC's hilarious hit sitcom Little Mosque on the Prairie. When not on the stage, in front of a camera, or behind a microphone, Neil is busy writing, and we're going to talk to him about his most recent and very, very funny book, Who Farted? Before we get started with my questions for Neil, I want to share with our listeners our call-in number so they can have the opportunity to call in with their questions. That number is 646-200-3268. Welcome, Neil. It's great to have you with us today.
Good morning, Katie. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I loved your book. I went through it. Who Farted? That's hilarious. Where does that come from? Only you. Where did the name come from?
Well, it's funny because the original title for the book was actually a title of another poem in a book called The Melderson's Dog Is Sitting on Me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, very cute little book, a little title and whatnot. It made me laugh. It's a funny little poem. But when I took the book around to schools, I've been doing a lot of readings in public schools and whatnot in Durham Region, and inevitably the poem that the kids just, you know, howled at and wanted to hear again and again and again was Who Farted? And so when we went back to sort of redesign the book and we had it illustrated by my good pal Wes Terrell, my publisher and I, we thought, you know, boy, Who Farted really is a much more grabby title. And
well, farts
and
are funny, fun, right? Kids think farts are funny. That,
well, they
just,
are. I mean,
of course.
I think it's pretty funny. So, yeah, so that ended up being the new title for the book. I think it's much funnier.
Oh, I think it's great. Now, just before I do get started, tell people where the book is available.
Okay, well, currently, the easiest, I guess, place to get it for everybody would be to go to the website whofarted.ca, www.whofarted.ca, and you can order it online there, and it'll be mailed right to your door. It is available, it will be shipped very soon. We're going to launch at Blue Heron Books in Uxbridge. I think that's
in front of Barclays. It's
falling on the 12th or 16th of June, coming up shortly. And it's available currently at Books Galore and More in Port Perry. And we're also currently talking to our wonderful friend at Chapters Indigo and looking about putting together a book signing in Oshawa, the Oshawa Chapters, and getting it in there, which would be terrific.
Perfect.
But
perfect.
The best bet right now is online.
That's great. The drawings are beautiful. Wes did an amazing job. The cartoon drawings, whatnot. And I really don't know. I mean, this book is absolutely, kids will love it, but what a great Father's Day gift. It's super. You know, I know that our older kids loved it. They were having a look at it last night and just howling at some of the poems. I'm going to read one. I love this one.
Oh, sure, please.
This one is called, Was There a Shark on Noah's Ark? Was there a shark on Noah's Ark? And if so, was he nice? Or did some of Noah's passengers go missing once or twice? When they set out, the animals came marching two by two, but one by one, some disappeared. Did Sharky eat a few? He's innocent until his guilt is proven, let's assume. But still it's odd that Unicorn and Sharky shared a room. I love that. That's hilarious. I love that. So tell me, you know, you're so busy and you've been so kind just to take a half an hour of your day to come and talk to us. What do you prefer? Do you prefer writing or acting?
Well, it's funny, you know, Katie, as I age and I do more of it, the writing actually...
You mean aging or more of writing and acting?
Well,
what do you do more of?
All of the above, I think. I think I enjoy the writing more and more, and I think that's a factor of the autonomy of it. You know, as an actor, I think it's lots of fun. Don't get me wrong; I have a lot of fun working on the shows that I do work on. But you really are kind of at the mercy of a lot of other people. You know, actors are told, you know, we're told what to say, we're told what to wear, we're told where to stand, you know, and you really are kind of being directed all day long. And mm-hmm. and that's fine, but the writing thing is completely mine.
Damn it, Riley.
I'm very lucky that I have wonderful editors at the newspaper and the various other magazines and things that I've written for, where they kind of give me carte blanche in terms of what I want to do. And in particular, my weekly column is essentially just whatever I feel like doing and dreaming up. And then the other writing that I've done, you know, like I've written some scripts and the poetry and whatnot, it's all mine. And nobody else has their fingers in that pie. And I really like that. I love the freedom of it. And I love, I must tell you, the feedback that I get from my readers on almost a weekly basis. It's just remarkable. I always like to say that the highest accolade I've ever received came from somebody who emailed me and said that they had cut one of my columns out and put it on their fridge. And that, to me, was the highest place of honor you could possibly have. So, again, you know, in terms of all the film and television work that I've done, very little of it gives me as much pleasure as the writing that I've done.
Do you have to do that in a specific spot? I mean, do you need a zone area where you go? Do you like side writing? Like, where do you get your ideas from mostly?
Well, it's funny. I mean, thanks to the portability of laptops, I get to write wherever I want in the nice weather. I very often sit outside of the patio or in the shade of a tree or whatever. I've written at picnic tables on the road somewhere and stuff. The idea is just to sort of come to me, at any given time. I'm up for a walk or I'm driving something like me. And I do keep a little, I learned a long time ago to keep a little electronic gizmo with me to sort of keep track of ideas as they cross my mind. So, the portability of it is great. I do have an office in the house, but in the winter months, generally where most of the writing gets done. Like, after that, I can go anywhere.
Do you find that you prefer to write on a more a personal level or more like this, more on a, some of the rhymes, limericks and whatnot?
I think the best stuff, my best stuff, I think certainly from my column, judging from the feedback that I've received, is the things that resonate with people the most are the things that are the most
Kelsey,
personal.
If you want some, mine, you can have some.
Writing about my family, my personal life. Everybody seems to have a touchstone with. Certainly I have submitted many, many columns that were just sort of mechanically funny, and by that I mean sort of just taking a kind of a funny idea and riffing on it. People kind of laugh ha-ha at that. But the stuff that really, I think, leaves an imprint with people is the stuff that's more personal, no question.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite TV show that you've worked on?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, Little Moss, without a question, it's an awful lot of fun to work on.
That was a very unique concept, that show.
Very much so, and very timely. We all lucked out that way to jump on that bus. But it was a great place to go to work in the morning. It was a lot of fun. We laughed.
Reuben Sandwich?
There was a little show that I tried to do a couple of seasons of years ago called Erie, Indiana, The Next Dimension, or The Other Dimension.
Yeah.
And that was carnival. Every day.
Russian stuff.
The whole premise of the show. Stuff happened all the time. The writers making up this crazy stuff. A lot of fun to work.
Now, do you prefer, when we're shooting, it's so nice that Canada is really being used so much now. We don't have to always be utilizing the States for our shoots and whatnot. I mean, the actors are coming here, and that's awesome. Do you prefer, shooting? Do you have a favorite spot that you've gone to and enjoyed?
Well, I mean, I've had the opportunity to shoot in Los Angeles a couple times, and that was kind of cool and neat, the novelty of it, but it's the city itself and the sort of the whole nature of the town is not really my bag. I love the time, the last 6 years I spent every August virtually out shooting in Regina.
Oh, nice.
Which was wonderful. I mean, it was kind of a paid vacation. you know, I've done a lot of shooting in Hamilton. We go there quite a bit, and there's parts of the Hammer that aren't so nice, but you know, people are very nice there. And I'm still waiting for that great gig, and I want to get my Magnum PI show where I get to go shoot him in Hawaii for.
Or maybe a horse like McLeod.
Yeah,
you know, that would be good.
Be.
As you go trotting down through the streets of Hamilton. Do you have a favorite movie?
Yeah, I think my favorite movie would probably be, this is going to age me, but To Kill a Mockingbird is still one of my all-time favorites. I can watch that any number of times. It's just Gregory Peck in that role is just so remarkable. It's so beautifully shot.
Yeah, I think I've touched one before.
It's also my favorite book, I think, too. I mean,
really?
Oh, Harper Lee's, it's amazing. It's the only book she ever wrote, which is kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah. Is he one of you say one of your favorite actors?
Oh, you guys were doing
what?
The
Smoking?
Yeah, I think so. I've probably seen everything he's ever done. You know, very compelling guy to watch. But again, in that particular role,
it
doesn't take an actor finding a role that was paying
him.
Yeah.
And who have you met in your acting genre that really you really liked? You know, got along with, nice person, gal, guy.
Oh, there've been lots of nice ones. I had spent a really nice evening with John Travolta, believe it or not. He was dressed as a woman the entire night, shooting Hairspray, which ironically was a film I ended up not being in. They ended up cutting my scenes from the movie, but I had a really nice evening with him. He's one of those guys that, you know, sometimes you meet celebrities and you're working with them and they don't, you know, for whatever reason, they don't seem to have any interest in you. You know, the conversation goes one way all the time. You're asking them about their life, and because you're working with them, and you're trying to make the environment friendly and whatnot. But with John, it couldn't have been any different. I mean, he was, from the minute I met him, you know, he couldn't have been more interested in my family and what I was doing and my career and stuff like that. Just a very genuinely gracious person, and you know, the guy's a superstar. I mean, in his own life, I mean, he flies commercial jet airliners, for heaven's sakes. I mean, he's done all kinds of stuff, and so.
Well, I'm going online here to say I love John Travolta. I don't believe any of the stories about him, and next to my husband, he's like second. You're third, actually, Neil. But John Travolta is definitely second.
Yeah. I have nothing but good things to say about him.
I
can care less what somebody does in their personal life, especially in this crazy business, as long as they're, you know, they're not hurting anybody.
Exactly.
And who knows what the real scoop is. You know?
Well, yeah. Now, one of my favorite characters that you play is Bad Santa. I love Bad Santa. I
don't know
how
many people
know
that. I mean, they don't always associate me with Bad Santa. I don't know.
We do. And I wait. I wait until I listen to Derringer every morning, and I wait until you're on because I giggle myself silly when you do that. Where did he come from?
He's so vile. It was a funny thing. Because John
wicked.
Had for John, the Christmas show, the annual Christmas show that they do down at the Hard Rock Cafe years ago, I guess it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago or more. It would have to be more than that, actually, because John had somebody lined up to do the show with him, a comic, to do something, and the guy had to crap out for some reason. And at that time, John was at the same agency as me. We shared the same agent. And he called my agent, Jerry, and he said, do you have anybody that can jump in last minute and be funny and do something for me here? And so Jerry called me. I guess he had an improv background. And he said, you know, do you want to go do the show with John? You know, sort of dress up as this Bad Santa character and sort of see what happens. And it was just like a week away kind of thing. And I said, sure. And so we did it, and John and I hit it off very quickly. We got a very similar sense of humor, and we had a lot of fun that first time we did it, and it seemed to really be very successful with the crowd. And so John had me back, you know, year after year after year doing this thing, and I would come on the show occasionally doing some other characters for him, and really liked it. I stopped doing it, I guess, a little over a year ago, and just because I sort of needed a break from the character, and he's just so completely vile.
What does your wife think about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, she turned the show off because it just And even my mom would listen to the show sometimes, and it's like, oh my goodness. So I've been thinking about revisiting it. I'm going to give John a call.
You have to.
And go back and bring Bad Santa back.
Christmas just isn't the same without Bad Santa, at least once.
The cool thing is, I got a Canadian Comedy Award for that, which was kind
that's
of...
That's right.
You never know where that's going to come from.
Oh, that's hilarious. Now, you and I actually, we have something in common. I'm a cancer survivor, you're a cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people know this about you, but not only are you a cancer survivor, but you are also the national spokesperson for both, it's the Colorectal Cancer Association of Canada and Colon Cancer Canada. So share a little bit of that, about your adventure, your cancer adventure, and what kind of effect that had on your life. For me, I was 18 and I was diagnosed and had cervical cancer, and certainly was told that probably you would never have children, and five children later, surprised them all. So, So tell us a little bit about that part of your life.
Well,
which wasn't quite as funny.
As you're probably very, very aware, I mean, it is life changing in a very good way. I mean, because it sort of puts the brakes on everything, and you kind of realign everything and reassess stuff in your life, and it clarifies things for you, I think, in terms of, or distills things, in terms of, you know, what's important. And I took a lot of time off. I took a sort of hiatus from work for about 8 months and just was able to get better. I had a weekly indemnity from my accident health service, which was wonderful. It wasn't a ton of money, but it was enough to let us survive and just chill out and do the stuff that I wanted to do. I was just reading and writing and taking walks and playing with my kids. I credit that hugely to my beating it. I was able to sort of fall back and do the things that made me feel good. And that's kind of, I guess that's it, sort of permanently realigned. Not that I was terribly out of whack beforehand, but now, you know, when I get into situations that are stressful or things upset me or whatever, I mean, it generally doesn't tend to last that long because I'm able to sort of stop and say, hey, you're still alive. Lots of people didn't make it. You did. And use the time that you have. I know there's a little bracelet that I wear a lot that I got years ago after my diagnosis. And engraved on the bracelet says, nothing is worth more than this day. And I love that. It's kind of like a little reset button for my soul when I put this thing on every day. Nothing is worth more than this day. It just sort of reminds you that it's all good and it's all gravy as long as you're on top of it.
And unfortunately, sometimes it does take something like that for people to get it. You know, that's what life is all about, just relish the moment. Like you say, you and I are very lucky to, I'm so glad that I can still be around and scream at everybody when things are not great, right? And get mad and frustrated and make sure, you're alive, and that's a good thing. Did you find writing about it was a bit of a catharsis?
Oh, very much so. You know, I do a lot of public speaking about this sort of thing. One of the things I talk about is that when I got it, I mean, I shared it with everybody. I just spread it around there, just whoever would listen. A lot of people, when they get a diagnosis like that or something that's scary or frightening, they tighten up and they want to keep it to themselves. And I don't think that's good. I mean, I think I just spread it out there. And the more people you talk to about it, the more people you share it with, you're opening yourself up to their energy. And people can send you their well wishes and their love. And that's important. It's definitely huge. I mean, there wasn't a day that went by, usually, where something didn't, arrive in the mail or the computer or the door, somebody sending some love in some shape or form. And again, I credit a big part of my healing for all of that. So why would you not want to avail yourself of that?
All that good energy around you. Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, what's coming up?
The big thing, of course, is the book. Very excited about getting Hoop-Harted out there into the hands of kids, big and little kids everywhere. And so that's kind of where I'm focusing right now. And, you know, I'm back to, you know, the thing about being a media manager, of course, is that, you know, no matter what you've done, you've got to reinvent yourself. The minute your old show is over or whatever, you're back to the boards, you're auditioning again, you know, you're just another face in the crowd. And so that's part and parcel that you sign up for. So,
do you still get a little nervous when you do an audition?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's kind of a good nervous now. I mean, before, you know, when I was younger, it was terrifying nervous, and now it's more of an excitement. It's more of a, let me get in there and see what I can do with this role kind of thing. And I finally, you know, 26 years in the business, I finally hit the point where I actually enjoy auditioning. Still get the audible, it's kind of terrifying, but that's a life model.
He's like, well, this guy's going to transfer in the pants.
Absolutely.
Well,
I know that you want to be an astronaut when you grow up, but if that doesn't work out for you, what else do you want to accomplish?
Well, I think, you know, I'd like to write more. I have finished a novel that I sort of put away, but I'd like to, and I've got a couple of other things on the burner that way, and I'd like to sort of pursue that more in a more serious thing, like get some serious writing done, get some books out there, some adult novel type books. And that's sort of a frontier that I would like to push myself.
Oh, you could base it on Bad Santa. That would be a real adult.
Your whole new mind.
We'll take that one into the library.
Completely unprintable, yeah.
But it would be sellable, I'm telling you.
It would be.
What do you do to relax?
I love to read.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I could read to the cows come home. I just got my Kindle a few weeks ago, and I'm just in love with
it. I just got a Kobo.
Man, they're fun. And they're very fascinating. It's so dangerous. A bibliophile.
Yep.
It's so dangerous because, like, new books are literally one click away, and you know, you don't realize you're paying for them.
Well, I was adamant that I would never Kindle, Kobo, no way. I like a book in my hand. I was all over that. And, of course, my husband went to an auction not too long ago, and he brought me back a Kobo. And I went, oh, you know, I don't like it. It's this hard thing. Then he got me the cover for it, so it opens like a book. Well, as soon as I realized that, as you say, like within a minute, a second, I could have this book and this book and this book. Oh, yeah, completely addicted. It is.
I surprised myself. And I'm just like you. When I just had the unit in my hand, it felt weird. But then I got the other thing for it.
It seems to make it okay. It does. I don't feel like a traitor when I have that cover. It's almost like I have a book.
I still haven't ventured into. It's still dicey having it in the bath with me. I love to read it.
I know. There's art. We'll keep watching this.
And so I'm still a little bit wary of having that thing near water. But
that could be not
yeah.
What is Neil Crone most proud of?
That's a good question. This is going to sound so cliche, but I have to say my kids. You know, I've got two great kids, and they're just remarkable individuals, and they're turning into such great adults. And they're fun to be around, and they're interesting, and they're good people. I screwed up a lot of things in my life, but I wasn't able to screw them up too bad. So I would have to say they're probably the most
important. Now, you told us that John Travolta was probably your favorite celebrity, so to speak. Who is the worst that you
I really want to play Pokemon right now, which is kind of weird.
I haven't had very many bad
experiences.
I'm very fortunate that.
I think I lost
very
my
few.
Pokemon game.
But I will never forget the time I was doing a film a few years ago with Scott Glenn was the lead in the picture. And I kind of like his look and whatnot.
This is guy on my bus.
I remember meeting him for the first day. We were going to have a number of scenes together.
He,
and,
he wears
lead
black.
Of a show, but we did have some scenes together. So I thought it'd be, polite and professional to meet him and take a hand and introduce myself.
It's like exactly like that.
I showed
and
up that day.
It's got pins on it.
It I don't lunch
know what
conference
there. They look like
I got into the lunch
person.
Line, and I found myself beside Scott, and he was sort of
like you,
filling
hat,
up plates, and I kind of, you know, extended my hand.
He wears like a hood underneath that's like striped green.
A big fan of yours,
like
a real pleasure to meet you.
Kind
of thing. Hopefully,
so
blew me off.
Look
at me. This is, yeah,
Devlin
wait.
Met a baseball,
wow.
baseball
and I was like, oh, okay,
you're
going to be having a bad day. And I'll give him that. And, but, you know, for the rest of the shoot.
Where did you meet him
at
an
old
and not just with me, so I felt bad. That was a just with everybody. Just
yeah,
kind of weird,
he,
odd
I don't know, he
was
just there. The Quatriel family was like,
you know.
Well, I just marked
and
him right off of
know.
Our list. We won't be calling him. I've just marked him off the list. We'll be calling him.
You know, and again, who knows? Maybe he was just having a bad week. I don't know. But then my experience with him and the other actors who were on set with him was just no fun.
Wow.
No fun.
Wow.
And that doesn't happen very often.
Well, you know what? I love talking with you, Neil. I can't believe our time is almost up. Tell me one last thing. Who would be your biggest hero influence in your life?
Well, I have a couple, and it's going to sound weird, but these are the two guys that you know I grew up watching, and I grew up you know shamelessly imitating. But like Dick Van Dyke. The old Dick Van Dyke shows have just been a big deal. And Don Knotts. I was an unashamed fan of Don Knotts. In my office, I had signed photos of both of those guys. I'm behind my writing desk. I just think they're just two of the funniest people that's ever graced the television screen or film screen. And also pretty quality guys, too, in real life. I could Dick Van Dyke is
Okay,
can you go? If you're like that, boy, I'd be very happy.
Oh, he came across as always a very kind and gentle type of person. My favorite, of course, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I love that. I really wanted to be called Truly Scrumptious. I really did. I wanted my name to be Truly Scrumptious. I know, to put your hands together for Truly. Yeah, no, it's not good. Neil, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're an absolute pleasure, and I'd love to have you back again. I wanted to make sure everybody goes go and get the book, www.whofarted.ca. It's wonderful, and I'm telling you, it would be a great Father's Day gift.
Oh, thank you, Katie.
Thanks again, Neil. Tune in next Thursday, everyone, June 14th at 11:30 a.m. Our special guest will be Mary McDonough. You'll remember Mary as little Erin Walton on the series The Waltons. Well, she's all grown up. She's written a great book and is a wonderful speaker for women's health issues, all of which we'll chat about next week. Details can be found on my website at www.getfocusedradio.com or email me at askkatehennessy@getfocusedradio.com. And as a final reminder, please join me on Facebook and tweet me on Twitter. That brings our show to a close for this week. I want to remind everyone that one organ donor can save up to 8 lives. But did you know that simply signing the request card means your family can still veto your wishes? Please take 2 minutes and officially register to be a donor at www.beadonor.ca. 2 minutes today can mean a new life to someone tomorrow. On behalf of my guest, Neil Crone, and myself, Kate Hennessy, we wish you a great day, and hopefully you've taken away something today that made you smile and think. Make sure to pick up your local Snout newspaper located in every city and town. If you don't have one, then how the heck do you know what's happening? All the local events all the time in Snap, your community newspaper. Have a great day, everyone, and see you next week.
tall.
You look like a sexual grandmother.
I tighten my bra.
Yeah,
I go get a bra.
I'm gonna try to get that one piece thing on.
Crazy, crazy kid.
We got bored.
Apparently.
Well.
Flavor Flav.
You look like Flavor Flav.
That's why I made this clock.
Bam. I feel like a superhero or something.
will they deflect a bullet?
Well, here, this is not how this is supposed to go, I don't think. Try. Okay, wait. Try. Hold on.
This is supposed to go like this. Is that very high?
Nope.
What? Higher?
Okay.
There you go.
Brave a little bit.
Sorry. We're going to take some pictures.
Nice.
Once Eric gets the costume on.
Oh, costume.
I think appropriate. Go get the one-piece suit on.
Yeah.
And that scarf.
Take this upstairs and hang it, you know, on the railing there.
It's something
oh,
that...
Take it and go hang it up on the railing. Upstairs.
Lift it off the ground.
And put some socks on. I just see in the floor. So don't put socks on.
Really?
Oh, Lord, Lord.
Sorry, did you give Eric some of your pizza? Oh, yeah, well, Eric, oh, it must be in the beer fridge. The one in the beer fridge. Not there, it must be in the normal fridge. No, it's like, he's like, no, I swear we bought three pizzas.
Did he not remember we put it in there?
I guess not. Well, then
he...
No, I took it out, but the box was all gross because it's been in there.
Oh.
So I just put my pizza in Eric's box. He gave me two pieces of his. And then when I found mine, I had two pieces of mine.
Something smells
really weird. It's all over the thing. I just saw
I used to call.
Thank you, guys. You don't have to do that because we've got to figure it out. So thank you for your help.
Okay. I don't know if it's hot or cold.
Come on, Ed. We still have to ask them.
We have to what?
We got to ask them. I got it too.
That was in there, okay, honey. What happened?
Well, the shelf was in wrong this year, and I guess the soup got thrown on the other side. It pushed this over, and it was knocked over, so I had to take it all apart. And then this fell apart, and then it just one thing led to another.
Thank you.